I heard a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call at the midnight cry. We'll be going home when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children. The dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. But then those that remain will be changed in a moment. And at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again. I look around me, I see prophecies fulfilling, and the signs of end times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father as he says, "Son, go get my children." And at the midnight cry, the bride of Christ will rise when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children. The dead in Christ will rise to meet him in the air. But then those that remain will be quickly changed, will be changed in a moment. And at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again. And at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again.
Amen. Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Say, well, I've been hearing that all of my life. I have too. I didn't realize what it meant first several times I heard it as a child. And then after I got saved and God let me in on the know, I know what it means now. I said, well, when's he coming? I don't know. I just know he's coming. I just want to be ready when he comes. Now, the Bible doesn't say get ready. It says be ready. Be ye therefore also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now the reason Jesus didn't say get ready is because it's going to happen just like the song that just sang says, but more importantly, like God said, it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we're leaving here. And that's a good thing if you're saved. You'll be going with us. Now, if you're not, well, that's not such a good thing. And I hope that you will be saved today. We've been preaching through the book of Genesis, and you've been following along, and I trust you've been reading these chapters as we go through. We finished up chapter 3 last week, and as we left chapter 3, well, Adam and Eve had been banished from the Garden of Eden, and a cherubim were placed there with a flaming sword to keep way of the tree of life. And now we come to chapter 4, and many are the lessons in chapter 4. Good biblical lessons that God wants to teach us some things. God wants to teach you something. And if you'll listen today, you'll learn something. Because God's Word always teaches. God's Spirit will teach us some things that will help us in life, that will prepare us for eternity. The Bible says in chapter 4, in verse number 1, Adam knew Eve, his wife. Now this is a term of intimate relations. Adam and Eve had intimate relations. Intimate relations are reserved for a man and his wife. God has reserved these intimate relations between a man and his wife. Any relations that are intimate outside of that are not of God. And so you keep that in mind in this promiscuous, society in which we live in, where anything goes. You keep that in mind, that God says that you're to keep yourself pure, and that intimate relations are between a man and his wife. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and she bare a son. And the scripture says his name was Cain, and she thought that maybe he was the promised seed, right? She said, I've got me a man from the Lord. She thought that maybe this was the fulfillment of what God had given she and Adam in the Garden of Eden after they had sinned, and God said that he was going to give a seed to the woman. And so she thought that she had gotten a man from the Lord. The Bible teaches that this young man's name was Cain. The word Cain means acquire. She had acquired from the Lord this child. And then the Bible says in verse number 2 that she again bare his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So we have this man and his wife that have come together and they want to start a family. And Eve has a son, and his name is Cain, which means acquired, or acquired from the Lord. And then she has another son, and his name is Abel. And Abel means breath or vapor, which could be an indication of the brevity of life, even as Abel's life was very brief because it was cut short, as we shall see here in just a moment. The Bible begins to get into some background about this family, and it tells us some things in particular about one of these children. Family's a wonderful thing, isn't it? We were talking in Sunday school about the three major institutions that are ordained of God: government, family, and the church. And I'm glad for these three institutions. They play a very big role in life. And I pray that they're a very big role in your life, and that you take them very seriously because God has ordained them. And we should do our duty. And God has placed a duty upon each one of these institutions that we have as individuals. And we should do our duty to respect these institutions that God has ordained and that God has instituted. The Bible says that when Adam and Eve gave birth to their children, that in the process of time, now I want you to follow this, we're going to build some thoughts around some words. The first word that we'll talk about is sacrifice. And the second word we're going to talk about is sin. The third word we'll talk about is search. And the fourth word is sentence. We find these four words and the teaching in this section of Scripture. What we're going to eventually lead up to is a society without God. Maybe in prophecy of the end times. Maybe in prophecy of the time when man would walk away from God and turn his back on God and leave God out and have just a form of godliness. Just a ritualistic, ceremonial form, but yet no God involved in it. I want you to notice a very sad verse of scripture that eventually that Cain finds himself at the precipice of, and that's in verse number 16, where it says that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. That's a very sad verse of scripture. Cain went out without God. And the Bible says in verse number 16 that he dwelt in the land of Nod. You know what the word Nod means? Cain means a choir. Abel means breath or vapor. Nod means wonder or wanderer. There's a saying that's going around that is very unscriptural, and if you're using it, I would challenge you to not use it. All that wonder are not lost. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that when people wonder that it's in a way without God or it's without aim or direction. God has intention for every person to have aim and purpose and direction, not just to wander aimlessly through life. Sin makes man wander. Sin makes man unstable. Sin makes man have no purpose. Sin makes man go away from God and leave God out and tell God, I can do this without you. Wasn't that Cain's message when he wondered? Didn't God pronounce a curse on Cain and say, Cain, you are going to be a vagabond. You are going to be a wanderer. Not part of a family. Not part of the family of God. Not part of what God had instituted. You see, as you look in verse number 11, you'll find where the Bible says that God cursed Cain. Did you know that when Adam and Eve sinned, that God did not curse them? God cursed the serpent. God cursed the ground. But God did not curse them. But now here is a different situation where a man has sinned against God and he has a different response than Adam and Eve had. And the Bible says that God said in verse number 11 of chapter 4, now thou art cursed. You'll be a wanderer. You'll be a vagabond. You'll be a fugitive. Look at verse 14. Cain said, I am a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. I'm a wanderer. And he wandered from God, and you know what he did? He built a city. The Bible says in verse number 17 that he knew his wife and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he built a city. And so Cain and his offspring began to just build and to just wander from place to place. And Cain just had no direction, had no aim, had no stability. And I'm here to present to you that that is not the life that God wants for you. But yet it is a life that many choose. And so let's back up now and find out how a man could get from a place to where he's right outside the paradise of God, in a good family with a good environment, and now he finds himself just wandering under a curse. What could happen? Cain went to worship. He did. It's amazing to me that how Cain went before God to worship. He brought a sacrifice, and that's our first word. He brought a sacrifice, and then I don't know how soon it was after the sacrifice. You know what Cain left church and did? Murdered a man. Church's not going to change your life. Now listen to me. Church doesn't change people's life. Jesus does. See, there's a lot of churches where people meet and they come one way and they leave the same way. I pray to God that this church would not be that way, but you know it can be. See, every person has a decision to make, a choice. God has made us free moral agents. And the Bible says here that when Adam and Eve had children, they had no doubt in the process of time, in verse number 3, that the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought. And I want you to underline that Cain brought. And then it also says in verse 4 that Abel brought. You know what this teaches me?
that they were taught that there's a time when you can't rely on mom and dad's religion. Mom and dad can't offer it for you anymore. The sacrifices of mom and dad are not for your sacrifices. There come a time when you will get to the place where God will hold you personally accountable to Him. That's the Bible. We need to teach our children that there is a God in heaven and that we have sinned against this God and that He has requirements laid out in which there are demands upon our life, that these requirements, these demands must be met if we're going to be restored to the God of heaven. God laid it out. He did it in chapter 3, and we've seen in our last message last week, we talked about the three requirements for sacrifice. See, man and religion says, I'm going to get to God my way. See, the Bible says in Jude verse number 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. See, Cain has a way. And Cain's religion is still active today, where man says, I'm going to approach God my way. God said, Adam, Eve, this is the way you will approach me. And there's requirements. Remember what those three requirements of sacrifice were? See, Adam and Eve, in chapter 3 and verse number 7, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons by the works of their hand. Seems like Cain is reverting back to the old way. Cain is reverting back to the initial way. Can I tell you that all man in his approach to God will always try by the works of his hands and the deeds of his life to approach God and find acceptance into the presence of God by something that he has done. But God said the only way you can find acceptance from me and can be admitted into my presence is for you to do it my way. I am going to do it. And God did that in chapter 3 and verse number 21. Chapter 3, verse 21, unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins. God did it. Can I tell you, salvation is God's plan. Don't forget this now. We're going to see it come to pass in the lives of their children. By the way, let me just say, and it's just something when I read this, it breaks my heart. How sin is so deceptive. I don't think in a lifetime times 20 would Adam and Eve ever have thought that the consequences of their sin would have come to this. To where they woke up to the news one day that one of your sons is dead and the other one did it. But that's the way sin is. We never can fully measure the depths or the consequences of our sin. The devil is a liar. No doubt the devil, as he told Eve, told Cain, you can do it and get by. God won't know, but I'm here to tell you that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him in whom we have to do. God does know. God does see. And God will require it at your hand and mine. The scripture says that there must be a requirement made, and it must be in chapter 3 verse 21, it must be something that God does. The Bible says in chapter 3 verse 21 that God made the coats of skin. The Bible also says that he clothed them. God did it. He didn't drop the coats of skins on the ground for them to pick up. Is that what the Bible says? Amen. He didn't say, here, you put these on. Man can have nothing to do with this. It's all of grace, brethren. I said it's all of grace. It's grace. You say, preacher, I'm going to help God out. I'm going to get to heaven, and I'm going to help God out. You can't help God. What can you offer a holy God to get to heaven for the forgiveness of your sin? What do we have to offer God for the forgiveness of our sin? Nothing. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. It's the amazing grace of God, brethren. Thank God for his amazing grace. The three requirements are this. Number one, it must all be of God. It's seen in chapter 3, verse 21. God laid down an eternal principle. Number two, it must be the just for the unjust. Thank God Jesus was the just for the unjust. Amen. This animal, whatever it was in chapter number 3, verse 21, many believe it was a lamb. The Bible doesn't say, but I know this. I know that that lamb, that animal, whatever it was, had nothing to do with Adam and Eve's sin, and yet God chose to sacrifice that animal as a substitute for their sin. And number 3, there must be shedding of blood. It's all right there. Those are the 3 inviolable requirements for sacrifice. God doesn't change on that either. Now, there's not a doubt in my mind that when you get over to chapter 4, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, what? An offering unto the Lord. Why? He realized that it was sacrifice. That God had demands in order for man to be in fellowship with God. There's demands that God has. And yet Cain said, I think I'm going to do it my way. See, that's what religion does. I want you to listen to me very carefully. See, religion says, I know what God said, but I'm going to approach God my way, and God's going to accept it. And we're getting ready to find out here what God says about that. God says, no, I'm not going to accept it. I'm not bound to accept your sacrifice in case it's done my way. You know, there's just something in us. It's rebellion is what it is. And it's in all of us. There's just pride and rebellion bound in our heart to where we say, I'm going to do this my way, and God is going to accept it. And then God has to teach us lessons, and hopefully we learn from those lessons and we're humbled before the Lord, and God in His grace gets us to a place where we realize that this thing is all of God. The only thing I can do is just enjoy it and be a recipient of it and follow along with the Lord. I have nothing to add to or offer God's plan of salvation. I just want to be a recipient of it, and I have been, and I want to share it with others so they can be. How about you? Amen? So the sacrifice, in the process of time, parents, now you be sure to teach your children that there's going to come a time in their life, not an age now, a time. Oftentimes this is referred to as the age of accountability. There is no age of accountability. It varies and differs with each individual. But God eventually will hold every person accountable for their own actions. In the process of time, Cain came to that place. In the process of time, in verse number 4, Abel came to that place. And they both realized that they could not just approach God without a sacrifice. So they brought a sacrifice. And the Bible says in verse number 3 that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, if Cain was sincere or not, I don't know. I believe he was. I believe he was sincere. I don't know. But I don't have any reason to doubt his sincerity. Why else would he bring it if he wasn't sincere and expecting God to receive it? And yet he went, no doubt, against the clear teachings that he had. Because Abel, in verse number 4, brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. So here's the sacrifice. God, in verse number 5, had no respect for Cain's offering, but he had respect for Abel's offering. Now, what's happening here? Well, God is going to teach us something. It matters not only the sacrifice that we offer, but the attitude in which we offer that sacrifice. So let's take our Bibles, hold here, and we'll turn back to Hebrews just for a moment. Hebrews chapter number 11. And I'm going to ask you to turn there quickly because I want to get a few things before we close this morning. And I've got some material to give you before we do that. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews 11. The Bible says in verse number 4, by faith, Abel. See, here's the attitude that God is looking for. Yes, it's by grace, but the grace of God must be appropriated. Just like the blood of the Passover lamb had to be applied. Please hear me this morning. It's not just enough to know in your mind that Jesus died for your sin. That's a mental assent. That's a mental knowledge. It's not just enough to know that Christ died for your sin. By faith, that must be appropriated. The finished work of Jesus must be received before you can be saved. John 1:12. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. even to them that believe on his name. And so while the grace of God is absolutely necessary for us to be saved, it must be appropriated, it must be received, it must be applied, accepted by faith. And so the Bible says here in verse number 4 of Hebrews 11, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You know why? It met the requirements. Now listen to me, brethren. Please don't leave here thinking, I'm going to do with God my way. How many times have you witnessed to somebody as a Christian and they said, you know what, I've got my own thing worked out with the man upstairs, and me and him's all right, and I've got my own deal worked out with God. There's no such thing as that now. Please hear me this morning. There is no such thing as that. And yet the lie of the devil is, you just get to God your way, you choose your religion, you do what you want to do, and in the end, God will say, it'll be okay and everything will work out. That is not so. The Bible makes it very clear that the attitude in which these sacrifices were offered played a big role in whether God would accept it or not. The Bible nowhere says that Cain offered his sacrifice by faith. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I can't prove this from the Bible, and so I'm going to tell you what I believe, and I'm going to preface it by saying this is what I believe. I try to do that when I have no biblical proof. I believe that Cain had a form of godliness. There are so many people in our world today, in our society, in our churches that have a form. They do what they do because they see other people doing it. They say what they say because they hear other people saying it. They act how they act because they see other people acting that way. They dress like they dress because they see other people dressing that way. See, there's no real conviction in the heart. There's nothing real in their life. They go to church and they stand because someone says stand. They read because someone says read. They sing because someone says sing. They pray because someone says pray. There's nothing real in their heart. It's not worship. You see, here it says, by faith, Abel, but not Cain. You understand what God is trying to teach me and what God is trying to teach you here? This thing of worship, this thing of knowing Jesus, this thing of living the Christian life is by faith, not by form. It's not just going through the motions. I go to church Sunday morning. I go Sunday night. I go Wednesday night. I go back again next Sunday morning. Next Sunday night. I do it because it's what I've always done, preacher. Hey, that's dangerous. I say, hey, that's dangerous. Because there's a lot of folks that have a form, but there's no faith. I'm not trying to get you to doubt your relationship with God. I would do the opposite. I'm trying to get you to be assured that you have a relationship with God. The attitude of the sacrifice by faith, look at it, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. You know why the Bible says that? Abel's sacrifice met all the requirements. It was the firstling of the flock. It was all of God. Abel can't produce a sheep. Amen. Abel can't produce a lamb. Number two, it was the just for the unjust. Remember the three requirements. It's very important, brethren. And there must be the shedding of blood. When the scripture says that he offered it, notice what the scripture says here in verse number 4 of Hebrews 11, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. And that's something. God testifying of his gifts. What a statement. God testifying of his gifts. You know what that means? That means that God said, you've checked the boxes, son. You did it the way I said it must be done. Now, before I move off from this and we get to the next word this morning, I want you to understand what God has done here by teaching us an Old Testament truth that is brought out in clarity in the New Testament. That God has placed demands on how man can be reconciled to Him. And those demands must be met the way God set them. You and I do not get to make the rules in this. Amen. So, well, you know, this church down here does it this way, and this church down here does it that way, and this religion over here does it this way, preacher, and that church over there does it that way, preacher. I don't know what to believe. You better believe the Bible now. See what the Bible says and do it the Bible way. Because the Bible way is the way. And there's a lot of confusion in this world, and I don't want to be a part of that. I want to bring clarity that there's one way to have fellowship with God, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So the sacrifice. We go back to Genesis now, and we see where these sacrifices were brought. It was in the process of time. I think it's a great thing that Adam and Eve taught Cain and Abel. Parents, we can only teach them but for so long. And then they take that teaching and they apply it to their lives. So in the short time that you have them, teach them well. Because there comes a time now when they leave the nest and they develop their relationship with God and they develop their walk with God to the dictates of their heart, and hopefully by the leading of the Holy Spirit. In the process of time, Cain and Abel brought their sacrifice. And the Bible says in verse number 4, the latter part, that the Lord had respect unto Abel. Remember what the book of Hebrews said? Testifying of his gifts. You know what that word respect means? It means he accepted it. You know what God did in the Old Testament to show that he respected or he accepted a sacrifice? The Bible teaches that he would consume it with fire to show that he was accepting the sacrifice, or that this sacrifice met the requirements and that it was acceptable unto God. He would consume the altar with fire to show, I accept this sacrifice. He accepted Abel's. I want you to get the picture. Cain and Abel go to church together in the process of time. And they bring their sacrifices. Cain brings from the fruit of the ground. And he lays his sacrifice upon the altar and he steps back to worship. Abel brings the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof, and he lays his offering upon the altar and he steps back, and the fire comes down and consumes one of them, but not the other. And Cain's waiting. And he's waiting. And the longer he waits, the angrier he gets. Now listen carefully. I'm telling you what the Bible's teaching. He gets angry. And he's wondering, why is God showing favoritism toward my brother? I brought a sacrifice. I brought something. Why is God not accepting my sacrifice? Notice what the scripture says in verse number 5. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. In other words, the fire didn't come down and consume his offering. And the Bible says, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He was angry. Can I tell you, religious people are always angry. Always angry. If you're always angry, there's something wrong in your heart. Now, I'm not saying if you get angry. I said, but if you find yourself always angry, if there's contention around your life, something's wrong. You know, there's been times in my life that I realized, you know, I'm not getting along with this one, I'm not getting along with that one, and I'm not getting along with this one. And then the Spirit of God will say, they're not the problem, you are. The Spirit of God ever done that to you? They're not the problem. See, here I am thinking, man, there's something wrong with this guy and this gal and this family. And the Spirit of God said, there's something wrong, all right, but it's not with this guy and this gal and this family. There's something wrong with you. You have a contentious spirit. You have a foul spirit. And you need to get that right. The Bible says that Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. This tells us something else, doesn't it? That your face wears what your heart feels.
Now listen to me. I'm telling you what the Scripture's teaching us here. God's wanting us to learn some things. What's in our heart cannot be hidden, because what's in our heart is going to come out in the issues of the life. You're going to wear what's in your heart. You are. You can only fake it for so long. Eventually, it's going to break out on you. And the spirit and the attitude of your heart, you're going to wear in your countenance. I'm going to wear in my countenance. So here's Cain, and he's going to worship, and he's bringing his sacrifice. And then here's Abel, and he's looking over there, and like all religious people do, they get mad at righteous people. Well, he thinks he's better than I am. Well, she thinks she's holier than I am. Who does she think she is? Oh, she's just a holier than thou. Because the Bible says that Cain's sacrifice declared that he was righteous. Or Abel's. And Cain was angry about that. Hold your Bible here, and we'll turn one more time before we close up in Genesis chapter 4. Turn to 1 John chapter number 3. Would you turn there? In 1 John chapter number 3, we find out why Cain murdered Abel. You know, people in our day, I mean, it's something. People will kill for little to nothing. There's really no sanctity to human life anymore. I mean, people just kill and don't even give it a thought. They just snuff out people's life. First John chapter 3 tells us why. Doesn't matter if it's your neighbor, your son, your mom, your cousin, your preacher. Doesn't matter who it is. The Bible says that a murderer is full of the devil. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Cain was of that wicked one. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse number 10, it says, In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Well, we just read about that. Why did Cain kill Abel? Why did he do it? The Spirit of God says, here's why he done it. He did it because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, we find out as we go back to Genesis 4, perhaps Cain did bring his sacrifice and did press it on God and say, you know what? I'm going to do it my way, God. I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do this my way. Now, I pray to God that there'd not be anyone here this morning that has that attitude. Preacher, you can preach and you can preach and you can preach and you can get up there and stomp and bang and shout, spit, but I'm going to do it my way. Well, you may. You may. But God's not going to accept it. I'll get angry, preacher. It's not going to change God's way. I'll quit church, preacher. It's not going to change God's way. I'll do evil things and I'll bring reproach on my family and on the church. It's not going to change God's way. It's not. Now, God loves you, and God wants the very best for your life, but God is not going to change for you. God will change you, but he's not going to change for you or me. So we go back to Genesis chapter number 4, and the Bible says that when his countenance dropped, that the Lord said, Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Aren't you glad that God always comes in the time of our need and disappointment? You know what God is doing here? We're getting ready to go into this sin, and I'll finish here. We'll pick up here next week. But we're getting ready to move from sacrifice to sin. So the man's just left worship, just left church, just offered a sacrifice, right? And God's having this conversation with him, saying, hey, you have a pretty bad spirit in church today. Amen? Right? Had a pretty bad spirit in church today. You left church mad. That's not the way you should leave church. Sad, maybe. Hopefully, most of the time, glad, but it's not good to leave church mad. And Cain, you left church mad today. Now, I'm bringing it into today's vernacular, okay? I'm bringing it to our time.
What's that, Cain? What's wrong with you? Why are you so wroth? Look what he said in verse number 6. And why is thy countenance fallen? See, God cares about your attitude. God cares about my attitude. God cares about our worship experience. God doesn't care, preacher. I'm glad that God does care. And then God said, Cain, I want to warn you. You, and I want you to listen, because there's somebody here this morning. You're right here. I want you to listen very carefully. You are getting ready to mess up, my friend. Now, I want you to hear what God said to Cain. I am so thankful in my heart that God does this for all of his children. God does it for people. There have been times in my life I was getting ready to mess up, and I mean mess up big. And God came to me and said, now, you're getting ready to mess up right here. You're getting ready to mess up. You better back up and check your attitude, and let's work this thing out. And you do it my way so you can receive my blessing. Or else you can go ahead and do it your way. But when you do, you're going to live to regret that day. I can't tell you the times as you read through this book right here that God went to him and said, you're getting ready to mess up. Now, David, you're getting ready to mess up. Remember when the servant came and said, hey, isn't that Uriah's wife? You're getting ready to mess up, David. Back up, boy. You're getting ready to mess up. But David sent after anyway, and he messed up. Over and up. Samson, you're getting ready to mess up. Cain, you're getting ready to mess up. There may be someone here today that the Spirit of God has been whispering in your heart, but today he's saying it loud and clear. You're getting ready to mess up. Look what he said. Verse 6, he basically said, why are you angry? What's wrong with you? Look at you. You just came from church. What's wrong with you? Nothing move you anymore, Cain? Verse number 7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? I'm no respecter of persons, Cain. Change the way you're thinking about me and your brother. It's not me and it's not your brother, Cain. It's you. Is that what God is saying here? Yes, it is. Among other things, but if nothing else, he's saying it's you. Look again, verse 7. And if thou dost not do well, sin lieth at the door. Now, there's a few ways this could be received, but I'm going to give you one. Sin is like a beast, and it's waiting at the door, and sin's going to break out on you, Cain. You can't continue to do things your way without paying a big price. Can I tell you, that's the message to all of us today. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You might think, well, I've got this thing worked out, preacher, and nobody's going to know what I've done. Yeah, Cain thought that too. Can I tell you, his parents thought that too. See, the devil can make us all think that. I can do this and nobody will know. Right? Come on, folks, right? I'll sin and nobody will know. Can I tell you, sin, all sin reaches heaven. All sin reaches God. No sooner than Cain has sinned that God came and said, where's Abel at? No sooner than Eve and Adam sinned did God come and say, who told you you was naked? What's going on? When you sin, God knows about it too. When I sin, God knows about it too. Listen to me. There's something about the deception of sin that makes us think, well, nobody knows about it. All sin sets off an alarm in heaven. God knows. God knows now. You say, well, my mom don't know. God does. Well, my spouse doesn't know. God does. You don't know, preacher. I know. But God does. And that's what matters. Because I'm not going to judge you. Your parents are not going to judge you, and your spouse is not going to judge you. But God is. And that's what I would be real concerned about. So let's wrap this up. Sin lieth at the door, Cain. You better back up. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain, you do the right thing, you can get victory over this. You can turn this thing around. Do the right thing. But now if you persist, if you insist on doing it your way, you're headed for trouble. Cain said, I think I'm going to do it my way. Maybe there's someone here this morning and God is speaking to your heart and God has been dealing with you and you're saying, you know what, I hear God speaking, God's been dealing with me, I've been talking about turning this thing around, I've been talking about getting right with God, but I've been just kind of half-hearted playing around with it because I don't see the full consequences of sin, and I enjoy my sin, and I'm going to continue to sin, and I don't care what God or anyone else thinks, I'm going to do it my way. Then God said, okay, here's what's going to happen to you. Verse number 8. Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. In a fit of rage, Cain committed the unthinkable. He crossed a line that he thought he would never cross. You ever crossed that line? You ever done something and said, you know, I thought I'd never do that. I thought I'd never say that. I thought I'd never think that. I thought I'd never do that. Sin can take you places that you didn't think you'd ever go. And that's all of us, brethren. Don't you be thinking about the person sitting next to you or behind you or in front of you. You think about you. Because sin can do that to any of us. We'll close with verse 9. The Lord God said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? What a question. You sinned, didn't you, Cain? You sinned, didn't you? You did it. Cain, I told you that sin was lying at the door. There was a way out of this. But you didn't choose to take it. You went headlong in rebellion and stubbornness and done your thing your way. And now look what you've done. Look what you've created. Where's thy brother? And he said, this is what sin always does. Sin will make you lie. Oh, I'm not a liar, preacher. If you're a sinner, you're a liar. Sin makes you lie. Sin will make you tell a lie, then tell another lie to back up that lie or hide that lie. Say, how do you know so much about sin, preacher? I'm a sinner. I've read this book. And everything God says about sinners in this book is so. Whether we want to admit it or not. And then he asked that question that we'll pick up on next week. You tell me how you read this question, and I'll tell you what you think about God's will. Where's your brother at? Well, God already asked Adam and Eve, Adam, where art thou? Where are you? See, that's the first thing you need to get concerned about. See, a lot of people's jumped over that question. Now, hear me. We're getting ready to close. Matter of fact, you can stand to your feet, but I want you to keep listening. Can you stand and keep listening? Listen to me. A lot of people jump over Genesis 3:9 and go right to Genesis 4:9. They get concerned about their brother. But God will never ask you about your brother. He's asked you about yourself. Genesis 3:9 is, Adam, where art thou? Is that what the book says, brethren? Where are you, Adam? Where are you? Where are you? Can I ask you that question this morning? God wants to know. Asking for a friend. Where are you? Where are you? So I'm not in a very good place, preacher. God wants to talk to you. Sin's lying at the door. You're getting ready to mess up. But you don't have to. So, oh, preacher, you don't know my family. You don't know my genes. You don't know my DNA. It's just in my DNA. It's just in the cards. I'm going to mess up because everybody in my family's messed up. No, you're your own person. You're responsible for your own actions. And God has a plan for your life, and it doesn't involve fouling up and flopping and failing. You put your hands, your life, in the hands of God. God's got some good things for you down the road. And I'm not saying it won't be without trouble. Adam, where art thou? And now, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? The way you answer that question will tell me how you're approaching soul winning. It'll tell me if you're impacting other people's lives. There's some people that go through their life and they have absolutely no intention on impacting anyone's life. Every Christian in this building ought to have a list of people you're trying to reach for Jesus. Every Christian in this building ought to be trying to reach somebody for the kingdom. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. I didn't say every preacher in this building. Every Christian in this building ought to be a keeper of the brethren. What are you doing to reach people, to impact people? Am I my brother's keeper? You better believe you are. And God's going to hold you accountable too. Gonna hold me accountable.
He held Cain accountable. He's going to hold you accountable. I'm going to ask the pianist to come. We'll pick up here next week, the Lord be willing, next Sunday morning. What a sad story. Your story doesn't have to end sadly. It doesn't. You say, well, I've kind of gone that way, preacher. I've gone the way of Cain. Well, you don't have to finish on that path. I've kind of done things my way, and it's got me in a bad place, in a bad state of mind. I don't have a very good attitude about life, and I just feel like that life is caving in on me, preacher, and I just don't have any peace in my life. God still loves you. And if you'll come to God and just lay it at the altar and say, God, I've made a mess of my life my way. I want to do it your way. I want to do it your way, Lord. Mold me. Make me. Fashion me after the image of your only begotten Son, Jesus. God will do it. Let's bow our heads together. Are you a Christian this morning? Do you know Jesus? Do you? If you do, and God spoke to your heart, I want to ask you to, as these right now are moving, to just come out with them. So, old preacher, I can't come to the altar. Why can't you? It's a great place for you to kneel and do business with God.